Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, and every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we talk to the head coach at Innsworth High School and ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, who is on the line with us. Timmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Well, I think we're doing better than the Titans right now. I mean, has it hit rock bottom, 26-0 to the arch-rival Texans, and the quarterback, I think, had his worst game in his four-game career. I mean, things are not good right now.
No, they're really bad. You say rock bottom. It's interesting. I hadn't thought of it as rock bottom, but I can't imagine there being a worse start than the Titans have had. And look, there's already been play caller changes. There's already been, blowouts. So I think that, it can't get much worse than it's been. And that's obviously not a good sign when the whole idea is that you're building towards improving. It just doesn't feel like that's happened.
When I watch Cam Ward in particular, I'm watching as a fan. I don't know near as much as you as a quarterback and a coach. What are you seeing from him? Because I see a guy that's still holding on to the football too long, even though there were only two sacks that showed up on the stat sheet. I still think he's trying a little too hard to make a play that just simply isn't there. I'm seeing some sidearm stuff that I don't really like. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'd address the sidearm stuff first. I don't love all that stuff. I think there's a time and a place for it. You see the best in the game doing it. But it's how he's played, right? Like, it's not something that's new and out of character. And he's been efficient and accurate changing arm angles at the college level. So I don't think that that's something that I would necessarily be overly concerned with at the moment. Now, I do think what is concerning, and to your point about holding on to the football, it does feel like he is doing – it feels like he thinks and feels like he has to do a lot in order to make plays. And – I just think that that's tough sledding, and it's a hard place to live. But I think part of the reason you feel that way is that if guys around you are not creating separation and, you're not able to play on time and in rhythm, and there's not run after the catch, or just there's not even completions of playing on time, as a quarterback, that can feel like you're playing uphill. And with that being the case, I think when you find yourself in that environment, you then start to say, all right, well, like, if I can hold on to the football a little bit longer and know he's not open, if I escape outside and buy some time, then maybe someone will pop free. It feels like he's playing like that. And that's why you have games where you go 10 to 26, is because it's hard to do that. So I don't think he's getting a lot of help. And I think there's probably enough reason to believe he's maybe even making it worse by trying to create on his own.
So let me ask you this. Do you think, and, we've talked about the play calling change, and, Bo Hardigree tried to call a couple of trick plays that didn't work. So whenever that happens, you think he's an idiot. And when it does work, mm-hmm. you think they're a genius. Cam has shown he has the ability to use his legs. Do you think yep. maybe more designed runs, quarterback runs, could help some of these
yeah.
things?
Yeah. I don't think he's a designed runner. I really okay. don't. Look, I was even a little bit surprised in how much the Giants ran Jackson Dart, because he really was not a runner in college. Now, I think Jackson Dart is probably a better designed runner than Cam Ward is. But I think if you watch the Giants and what they were doing with him, I think you're on a mission to get your quarterback hurt. Like, you just are. I mean, you just look at it. There's a 3rd-and-2 run the Giants called with him, where you're basically putting him in the hole with an inside backer. Same thing down in the red zone, kind of inside the 5-yard line as a design runner. And so people can, get all excited about, Jackson Dart's rushing touchdown, where it was basically an RPO. It was stick to his left. And then it was basically quarterback lead draw, and he comes through, clean and untouched, and that's great. But, the benefit of that without what I think is the problem of basically running gap scheme or power schemes with your quarterback, you're just going to get him hurt you know, by doing that. So look, I think the better thing would be change the launch point as you kind of struggle a little bit with pass protection. Moving him is fine, you know, but I think, you know, this idea that of having, like, you know, really trying to run him to supplement your run game, I don't believe that that's the right path to go down.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim, when a quarterback knows when he drops back, he's going to be under heavy pressure, how does that affect you even before you take the snap? Because I think Cam Ward knows when he drops back, Tim, and that there's going to be two or three guys waiting on him in the back and in the pocket.
Here's the thing. I think if you know that guys are going to win, you like pressure. You would invite pressure. Because if guys win on the outside, then you basically have reduced it to throwing one-on-one routes. And so it's kind of great. But what's not great is when people are bringing pressure, and you, to your point of, look, you know that you're going to get hit, and you know that it's not going to be a clean pocket, but you're not sure and you don't have confidence in guys winning and making the play for you. And so you feel like, all right, well, maybe I've got to hold on to the football a little bit longer to see, you know, the angle he sets, or to see if he does get any separation, or, you know, the timing of it all. That's an awful feeling. That's an awful feeling because you just, you know, I think a lot of times people see pressure and they're like, this is perfect because, like, you just made it easy for me because now I know where I'm going with the football and I know my guy's going to win. Well, when they don't, then it's awful. So I think that is the world that Cam is living in right now.
We talked last week about up-tempo, go, 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 go. I called a game last weekend at Kennesaw State at MTSU. Kennesaw State ran plays, Tim, with only 3 to 4 seconds off the play clock. They were going that fast, and it confused everyone. Are the Titans capable of running an up-tempo offense? Because I don't think they are.
I think you could be capable of doing it. The problem is because the offense has struggled so much, you would be destroying your defense in terms of, you know, going so fast. And so, you know, if you have these super quick three and outs, you know, now your defense, which, you know, has been, I mean, okay, I guess at best, like now it puts them in a tough spot. So do I think they could? Yeah, I think they could because they have a quarterback that would know how to operate super fast. He's done that before. I just don't know that that's necessarily, you know, for your team, you know, what ends up being best. I think more than anything, Joe, is I think they need to define completions. Like you can't – it's very hard to win a pro football game and when you have 10 completions. Like I talked to a lot of college coaches that felt like, look, if we feel like if we complete 22 passes in this football game, like we like our chances of us moving the ball, having time of possession, doing those types of things. When you complete 10 passes in a pro football game, I think it's impossible because it's going to be hard to run the ball because they're not fearing you throwing the football. And I'm not saying they've got to be down the field. I'm just saying you need to complete more passes so that the team is defending 53 and a third and they're defending things other than you just running the football on them. And right now the Titans just aren't completing enough passes.
Well, so, what you just talked about led to the greatest fight between coaches on the sidelines in NFL history when Gil Bride and Buddy Ryan got into a fight because that was what you're talking about. They were going three and out, and Buddy Ryan says, you got to give my defense a chance to rest, and that's how the fight happened. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think, like, look, you know, Stroud had 22 completions in the game. You know, like, I do think that there's an element of, like, that's not always it, but when you have a struggling offense and you're trying to figure out, like, okay, what do we need to do in order to play better, I think you need to find completions. Like, and to me, it doesn't matter if you're throwing a little stick route to somebody. Like, you need – I mean, look at what the Dolphins have done in the past. Like, I mean, the Dolphins, you know, found ways to find completions. I think it's just, generally speaking, you know, helped their team. So, to me, it's not the tempo. I think pro defenses – handle tempo extremely well. You do see teams, you know, when they get to third downs, not huddle and go fast to try to get a more simplified third down defensive call from the defense, which does work oftentimes. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, the area where I would focus more so than, you know, trying to get into to going super fast.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. We've talked about that. Are they nearing the point where they should start fielding phone calls to trade guys? Jeffrey Simmons obviously would be at the top of the list of getting whatever they could for him because he's been their best player. There's really no arguing that this year. Do you think they're nearing that point, or is that something that, you know, maybe they should avoid and use some of those guys as building blocks for the future?
No, I think you're nearing that point. You have a rookie quarterback. And so, you know, I think doing what you can to essentially, you know, bolster, you know, the arsenal to be better in years to come. Look, you're 0-4 in one of the, I mean, arguably one of the weakest divisions in football. And so, look, you know, you hate to say it because you're like, hey, like, we're really punting on the season. But, like, yeah, some of these teams that have had injuries and, you know, need players, like, this would be an example. Like, and I'm not saying, like, Calvin Ridley ends up being, like, a candidate for this. But if you're the Giants and you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, for that matter, like, and you keeping your job is important and – you know, you maybe have a chance and you just lost Malik Nabers. Like, are you in the receiver market? Like, you very well may be in the receiver market. In the long-term future for the Titans, is Calvin Ridley really in the plan to be one of Cam Ward's most desirable guys? Probably not, you know, and I do. So, yeah, I think there are going to be teams. Look at what's happened to the Chargers. The Chargers think they have a really good team. They've already lost their starting left tackle. Their replacement left tackle is going to be out for an extended period of time. Khalil Mack's out. Like there are teams that are going to be looking for guys that think they're contenders. And so, yeah, I think starting the conversation now, well ahead of the trade deadline, is a good idea for the Titans.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Continuing our conversation with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and, of course, the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. We were just talking about, you know, teams in the receiver market. Tyreek Hill blows out his knee, multiple ligaments, including the ACL, according to Adam Schefter. So he's going to be out. The Dolphins actually looked decent last night, or was it that the Jets look really bad, or maybe a combination of the two? What do you think of the Dolphins moving forward, and could they be in the receiver market?
Yeah, I think they could. There was talk about Tyreek being traded. So, obviously, you know, that's off the table now. So, I could see them being in that market. I think it's a devastating blow for them. Now, they have other, you know, talented guys, you know, in their offense. I think the way they looked probably had more to do with the opponent than, you know, me thinking that they're a real viable team going forward. And look, you know, the Jets to me, like that's a team that I think has been one of, I think like it's going to be a long year for the Jets just on both sides of the ball in terms of what they've looked like. So, you know, I don't like they're a team in the market for receivers, maybe like they could also be in the market, you know, depending on what they see the future for Mike McDaniel being of a team that is moving some of their own players.
Tim, you just talked about the division, the AFC South, not that strong. We've talked about all the Titans have to do is be better than the other three teams in the division. Let me ask you about Jacksonville. That was a big win versus San Francisco. And Trevor Lawrence, I don't know why everybody is just putting all this hate on him from the last couple of years. I know he's had his problems a little bit, but he's still a pretty good quarterback. What do you think of the Jags now sitting there at 3-1?
I think you make a great point about that being a huge win for them. You know, there was some emotion to it. I think there were some elements of at the very end of that game, you know, when Jacksonville's taking a knee, Fred Warner is kind of trying to jump over the center. He rolls up on the Jaguars' left guard. And so a lot of this interaction with Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh, I think, you know, has been attributed to, you know, the signal stealing stuff. But really, I think there was also elements of, you know, hurting a Jags player, Cohen kind of sticking up for him. I think, you know, you've seen Cohen getting on Trevor Lawrence. I think Cohen is going to coach the quarterback hard. They, I believe, are an improved football team. And I think there's going to be a little bit of grit to them that, that hasn't been there in the past. Now, I think the Colts are a good team as well. I think that there are two good, maybe not great teams in the AFC South that I think those two teams end up fighting it out. I think at the end of the, you know, at the end of the season, you know, we're going to look at some meaningful games being played in the division, you know, because of, you know, how the season's going for both of those teams, which, look, is they've probably, you know, overperformed expectations. And then I think when you look at teams like Cincinnati and Baltimore, also AFC teams, you know, they've really, you know, underperformed to this point.
Why do we still have receivers dropping the ball a yard out from the end zone? I don't forget the Colts receiver who dropped it on the half yard line. As a head coach, what do you do?
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell, I have no idea why guys still do that. Like, there, you have 10 yards before you go out of the back of the end zone to extend the ball out. That is wild to me. You think of that game. Look, the Colts easily be sitting at 4-0 if that doesn't happen. Like, that's the difference in that football game, which is, I mean, just gut-wrenching, you know, for the other players on the team, the coaching staff for the Colts. So that's one I don't understand. Like, between that and, like, defensive backs celebrating when, like, a wide-open receiver who won just drops the football, like, those two things, you know, like, you know, like seatbelt season, you know, when somebody had 4 yards of separation and just didn't catch the ball, or the quarterback just misses them. Like, those two things, like, I'll never understand. I understand those more than mental reps. Okay. Let's just put it that way.
I'm glad somebody does.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us on the program. Can you have a lot of pull. Can you do us a favor and call Roger Goodell and get rid of ties, because ties should not exist in the NFL, especially when you have such a compelling and exciting football game on Sunday night between the Cowboys and the Packers. I hated seeing that thing end when it did. At least give me a 15-minute overtime quarter. I mean, I know there's no perfect solution to it, but man, I hated to see it end in a tie.
Well, since I come on the air after the games, I maybe was one of the few people that was like, fine, just end this thing. I don't feel like coming on the air at 3 a.m. But here's what I would say. Look, you know, they've kind of talked about this stuff as like in the vein of player safety, right? Of why they've done the overtimes the way they have. At the same time, they're like adding full games. So, you know, you're talking whatever, you know, another 70 snaps, you know, on a guy for a game. So I agree with you. Like, play it like a full quarter so that if teams do, and it's not going to eliminate all the ties, but like, then at least at that point, there's another possession, especially with the way guys are kicking field goals these days, where, like, you know, 52 yarders seem like, you know, automatics. So yeah, it feels weird to me. The thing that struck me the most though about Sunday night was I thought it was really good quarterback play. It was horrendous defense. But maybe more than anything, for all the, you know, coach complaining and game management that's, you know, obviously gone on here locally, and, you know, and probably people have, you know, said some other places, I thought it was almost coaching malpractice what LaFleur did with the Packers. Yeah. There's under 20 seconds left. You're backed up before the half. Like, why are you being so aggressive? Like, that made no sense to me. And I think they maybe only had one timeout, if any. And then the last play of the game before the in overtime, before they kicked the game-tying field goal, like, what are you doing? Like, in an environment where there's coach-to-quarterback communication, like, they should have lost the football game. Like, Matt LaFleur should have lost them the football game. So, yeah, I there were a lot of things about that game that felt terrible. But I think when we look at it at the end of the year, the Packers are going to be thrilled that that was a tie and not a loss.
Is Brian Schottenheimer maybe a little – is he surprising you in a good way? Because he is me.
Here's what I'd say. Like, I didn't think there was going to be much of a difference between he and Mike McCarthy. And I'm not saying – and I don't really think that there has been, right? Like, the Cowboys had a really good offense. Brian Schottenheimer is, you know, really, you know, in many ways just connected with, you know, what they were doing offensively. Like, so, you know, when I look at it, I think the Cowboys are a very similar team. But to think that, like, you know, surprising from the standpoint of, like, I think he's qualified and capable in terms of knowledge and being around teams and influences in his life to be a good head coach. That is not surprising to me, you know, in terms of that. And look, Dak Prescott, you could say right now is playing as well as any quarterback in pro football.
Tim, real quick, what we, you know, we talked about your brother and Walter Jones last week, mm-hmm. about how great he was at Seattle. What would he have done had that been your brother instead of Cam on Sunday when the Texans player takes him down with a legal hit to the head and yeah. nobody comes to his rescue? I mean, nobody comes to help. I'm not one for violence after the play, but yeah. at some point you got to stand up for your teammate.
Yeah, I do think that there's an element. Listen, the fine schedule is brutal these days with, you know, guys getting into stuff. So, like, you know, I don't know that you can sit there and say, hey, listen, man, like, somebody hits our quarterback, you know, let's make sure that you sign yourself up for a $17,000 fine, you know, by protecting him. And it doesn't have to be all five guys, but you would hope, and you see it around the league, right. that there is a pride in terms of how you protect your quarterback, and not just your quarterback, you know, any of your star players, like how you protect them. It goes on in other sports. Clearly goes on in baseball. If somebody gets hit, it goes on in hockey. I do think there's an element, kind of an unwritten rule of, if your job is protecting the franchise quarterback and somebody takes a cheap shot on him, that you do what you can to let people know that you're not putting up with it.
He is Tim Hasselbeck. Who do you got this week?
We got Knox Catholic coming in town for homecoming. So we got need a little bit of a bounce back after this last week. So hopefully the boys are ready. Getting that time of year, you know, you got guys banged up, you got injuries, new opportunities. I mean, so like, this is good for me as a coach, get new, you know, new situations to address with our team and hopefully, you know, see some growth out of the boys.
Are you the only coach in America, high school coach in America, that likes homecoming? My coach hated homecoming. Every head coach I've ever known hates it.
Why did he hate homecoming?
Because it was an extra 15, 20 minutes of not playing and doing all the ceremonial stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, see, we don't – that's a good thing, right? We don't do all that stuff. We did homecoming. We, you know, the kids will be excited for it. They'll have a dance on Saturday night. But, yeah, we don't prolong the festivities. we get to the game.
Good.
Love it. Love it. Thanks, Tim. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, fellas. See you.
That's ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and, of course, the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. We'll react to some of that and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Tim Hasselbeck for joining us in the last segment. Revisiting our question of the day, presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. You're casting the Tennessee Titans movie right now. Who plays who?
Right.
I said Kathy Bates as Amy Adams Strunk.
We got votes for her and Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
To do that.
Mark Wahlberg as Mike Morganzi.
Perfect. The Boston accent's perfect. A lot of different for Brian. You got to do both Callahans. You got to do son and dad Callahan. And if Red Fox and Lamont were still around, that's who I'd cast. Sanford and Son as Callahan. Just mix it up a little bit. Have some fun with it. But – yeah, I mean, it could be a great movie. It'd be like on the – you'd kind of cast it like the TV show Dallas. I mean, you got your main characters and then some supporting actors and actresses will make it really good.
Well, and there now people are saying media members, so I gotta read this one. Josh and Donaldson says, Michael Chiklis is Big Joe and Jimmy Fallon as someone else that used to work here.
Ah, okay. Michael Chu. That's a good one. Yeah, but you got to throw, I mean, so we're only going to allow one media member in this casting.
Paul Kuharsky.
It's Kuharsky, right?
Who was it that said, Brian Cox is Paul Kuharsky?
Which, is that the Succession guy, or is it the one that was in, there's two Brian Coxes.
5137 says Joe Pesci is Paul Kuharsky.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes.
Hey,
Rex Rowe does a really good bad Paul Kaharsky impression. It's really good. By the way, that's the best radio show in town, Robbie and Rex Rowe. I'm here to tell you.
Besides this one.
6 to 9 every day. We can't vote for ourselves.
Wes in Clarksville said Catherine O'Hara is Amy and Joe Pesci is Borgonzi.
Okay, I could see that. Catherine O'Hara makes me laugh, though. This role will not require you to laugh.
Right. Both Callahans played by John Travolta. Brian is...
That's some weird, wild stuff there.
Ran is dad, Callie... What? Vrabel is... I don't
know. We got Vrabel figured out.
Charlie Sheen is Brian Callahan. Oh. Martin Sheen is Bill Callahan. There
perfect.
You go.
Done. Who did that? Who's tweeted that in?
2133.
2133. God bless you. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen is Brian and Martin Sheen is Diddy. Love it. Yeah. Who else? We got Kuharsky is Pesci. This is good. You guys are good with this. Amy, is it Kathy Bates?
I'd say so.
Okay. Kathy Bates is Amy. And then who else are we leaving out? We got there's somebody else in there.
Who could be Brinker?
Brinker. I voted for Bill Burr because they have that same look together. And when Bill Burr came on this show, he was terrible. So
yeah,
Brock Lesnar. That's a Connor Newt. That's Connor Newt's. But yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Well, I can see it.
And who else?
We need Ran.
Kenan Thompson from SNL.
That'd be a good one. Here's another one. Again, a little bit older, but I'm trying to fit what he looks like. Chi McBride that was on he was on Hawaii 5-0. You know who I'm talking about?
I'm trying.
He's been in House. He was on a bunch of Fox shows. This guy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yes. Yeah. That's a really good one.
It could be Rand.
And by the way, the song you played, Dr. Crane coming back in, is the perfect title for this. I think it's going to be a long, long time and have that song because it's going to be a long time for this team ever does anything.
William has a good one for Callahan. John Krasinski.
Yeah.
That could work.
That's good. I like the real mom and the real father son with the Sheens.
That's a good one. Krasinski could be good, though.
What about Neil McDonough playing as, Burke Nihil?
Burke Nihil.
No, what about Krasinski as Brian and Steve Carell as Bill?
What's the wrestling? Hey, what's the true movie he did about the wrestler, the DuPont family that Steve Carell got?
Von Erichs? Wait, what?
No. It's a true story about this guy who gave money to Penn State. It was
Foxtrot.
Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Steve Carell, they made him look old in that. What a movie. That's a true story. He was amazing in that role. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that could be funny.
So, Krasinski and then Steve Carell.
What if you just did the whole movie as the cast from The Office?
You could do that.
So, have Pam, what's her name that plays Pam? She could be Amy.
God, what is her name?
Jennifer something.
No, it's gosh. Jenna Fisher.
Jenna Fisher, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a question, though. We're having fun casting the movie. Are you going to go see it?
Yeah.
Would you go see the movie?
Absolutely.
We go to the Roxy and Dixon, watch it out there, get our popcorn and drinks.
Look,
and hang out.
Connor's onto something with Brock Lesnar as Brinker. That's actually pretty good. 8685, Kenan Thompson is Ran.
Yep.
Skylar says the cast from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is Callahan, Daddy Callahan, and Brinker. Brinker being Clooney. If we could get George Clooney to do this movie, that'd be
right.
Al in Mount Pleasant was the one that said the Sheens.
Good one, Al. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Ray Romano is Brian Callahan.
That's a good one.
Mike Vrabel as Mike Vrabel.
I think you would. That'd be the fun casting of Mike Vrabel. Who would you do for Mike Vrabel?
Jan Levinson as Amy.
It would distract Michael Scott too much. Because all it'd be as much of that's what she said around her. But no, that's the thing with this team. I mean, this is what it's come to. we're casting this. If this team was four, if we were in Indianapolis, we're not casting a Colts movie. And I said last night, I tweeted out last night, but the Jets are terrible. The Jets are terrible. And I said, I apologize to Titans fans because now you share the worst team in the league with the Jets. And people are like, no, the Titans are much. The Jets can score points. True.
Josh says Denzel Washington is Denard Wilson.
I don't even know what Denard Wilson. I've never met him. I think I've seen him one time.
Oh Jay. Jay from Laverne says John Cena is Chad Brinker because you never see him. Miles wants to weigh in. Miles, what you got?
Hey, guys, I've been listening. I missed like a few minutes while I was working earlier, but I've been trying to hear the whole show, and hopefully somebody didn't say this yet. So this is kind of like, I mean, it hits on 2 points, basically. I'm casting, rest in peace, to my favorite actors, Chris Farley and Brian Dennehy, who plays his dad, and it's from the movie Tommy Boy, and if you think about it, all right, that's the Callahan Empire.
That's
Tommy
it.
Tommy Boy, they're the Callahans in the movie, so to me it made perfect sense. I was like, that's them right there, and it has to be a comedy.
Well,
it already is.
Certainly not taking them serious. That's a good one. Thank you, Miles.
Thanks. Anchor down.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, there you go.
Get it out.
Love it. Alden wants to weigh in. Alden, what you got?
I got for Mike Vrabel, if this hasn't been said, Rob Riggle.
Oh.
I think he'd be a great one. The one from Step Brothers, he's the one that, you know, Kobayashi. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
We know that. Yeah, that's a good one. Rob Riggle.
Y'all take care.
All right, thanks, Alden. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Rob Riggle, friend of the show years ago.
Not I've been here.
Yep. Kobayashi. Nom, 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 nom. You cannot find that clip, Dr. Crane. You cannot play that clip.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
Well, he'll find it. Don't worry. We'll take more of your answers to this and talk more about the Titans. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Who would play who in a hypothetical Titans movie? Let's get Billy Joel to do the soundtrack. That would be great.
It's originally we were going to just do like, all right, Amy, four or five different people. Now it's evolved. You guys are so great. So now we got to include Jeff Fisher in this, right? Because you got to do a cutaway to the Super Bowl. Jeff Fisher could be played by only one person.
Jeff Fisher.
Ron Jeremy. Don't Google that, Dr. Crane. Just don't. Just trust us on this. That's who plays.
That's in the same realm as Debbie Does Dallas. So.
Yeah, just don't at all.
VHS.
None of that.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. So the movie is basically casting itself, and you guys are fantastic with all these.
Can we cast Greg Pogue to be Bud Adams?
I don't see why not, right? Greg's not doing anything until March. He's off because of the arena ball. He can do
That'd be hilarious. I mean, he'd have to drive Fisher to the set anyway.
Yeah, we had somebody for Will Levis, right?
Austin Butler.
From the guy who played Elvis. Looks just like him almost.
Matthew McConaughey plays the new head coach when Callahan gets fired.
Hey, he did that in We Are Marshall.
He was really good in that movie. 8586 says Byron Leftwich can play Denar Wilson. Tell me he's not the same person when wearing a hat.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. Austin says Amy Adams, Sandra Bullock, Brian Callahan, Gerard Butler, Bill Callahan, Al Pacino.
I guess Pacino too much credit, man.
Oh my God. Jay from Laverne, Jeff Fisher, Billy Bob Thornton that he played in Landman. I need to see Landman.
Spot on about Denard Wilson and Byron Leftwich. Holy cow.
If it's a comedy, it will be. J.B. Smooth is Rand Carthen.
Oh, my God. You guys are fantastic. That's a great one. Oh, goodness.
William says if Billy Joel does the soundtrack, he has to have a cameo. He could be Bud Adams. Yeah, that could be good. The budget on this movie is getting a little high, though.
It is. For nobody that's going to watch this except for us.
What about for Jeff Fisher? It's Al from Home Improvement. You know, Tim the Toolman Taylor's plus one in his TV show.
No. Oh, no. That'd be funny.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Richard Karn.
Yeah, Richard Karn. Thank you.
He does the 50 floor now, right? The commercial for hardwood floor or something?
0388. If you cast Ron Jeremy, you'll have to recast Amy because it becomes a whole new movie. Titans and the Hedgehog? What?
Thanks so long. Hello.
It's still on.
Woo! These are great, man. This is what happens when your football team's terrible.
David Big Rock says Calvin Ridley played by Edward Scissorhands. Pauly Shore for Callahan.
That's a good one. It's going to be tough to beat the Sheen, Martin Sheen and Charlie
I just want Sheen. I want somebody in the Titans media tomorrow to be like, hey, who do you think should play you in a movie?
Oh, see what he says. So good. He's so good. We got Kuharsky cast as Joe Pesci. That's done. I mean, this movie's going to make itself.
Ryan in Florida, who would play Floyd Reese? I got the perfect guy, but I don't know his name. Hang on. But 100%, I know who
is
it
he
would
the
be.
Guy they just killed off on SVU? Or?
Rex Lynn.
It's Reba's.
Yeah.
Reba's fiance.
Yeah, Rex Lynn.
Yep.
He could be Floyd.
He looks just like Floyd.
Exactly.
From CSI Miami.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
He's Floyd.
He was a bad guy in Cliffhanger. He was also in Better Call Saul. Yeah, now he's engaged to Reba. But during CSI Miami, he looked just like Floyd Reese. This movie
he does.
Is doing.
See? Yeah, look, we got it.
Now we need is a budget.
Maybe this isn't a movie. Maybe this is like a mini series.
No, it's
on
a nightmare.
Netflix. Yeah, well,
it's pretty much
it's a horror
nightmare.
Film just in time for
8 episodes, Netflix. Let's get this done.
And we do like the early days, so we have Jeff and Floyd, and then it transitions to
yeah.
So who plays Weston Hunt?
Who's the just the my gosh, let me think here.
Craig T. Williams is Mike Mularkey.
Craig T. That's a good
coach
one.
From Coach.
Right. I thought you were about Craig Williams, a former Channel 4 sportscaster in the day. That's like different. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think.
It's not Craig T. Williams. What's his name?
Craig T. Nelson.
Nelson.
Thank you. Craig T. Nelson. But would you not be mesmerized to go behind the scenes of a bad football team?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all got enamored with the Jerry documentary or the Cowboys and the SEC football documentary. But to follow this team, because look, you see how the great thing's going, but how is it when it's awful like it is now? Like it's truly awful.
I'm sorry. These are just – B-Man says John Stamos is Jeff Fisher.
I mean,
you put the mustache on
Southern
him.
That's California
pretty,
boys.
That's pretty spot on. 3337 says Mr. T could play Derrick Henry.
It's not a bad one. We gotta have a big budget for this. This is a lot.
My buddy Phil says Woody Harrelson is Wiz.
Go there. We go.
There
that's
you go.
It.
That's spot on.
I tell you guys, this is casting itself. Perfect.
That is spot on.
From top to bottom, this is all good. But who does play Bud Adams? Do you do the toupee Bud Adams from 1960 or the toupee Bud Adams? Because the Bud Adams that with Phil Bredesen in 1995 that signed the thing to come to Nashville, that toupee, I don't know where forest they found that raccoon to put on his head because it is an immaculate toupee. It is. Hey, look like George Jones hair back in 1995. I mean, it was sweet.
He did. He did have some George Jones hair.
Yep. One of the Halloween the cheerleaders.
I got it.
Go ahead.
Tommy Lee Jones.
As
Bud Adams.
I need somebody more.
You say no? Harrison Ford?
No, I need somebody more of his stature, like physical built. Because Bud was built like us.
Portly.
Portly. Thank you. We need a portly Wilford Brimley. He's gone though.
Yeah, I was about to say he's no longer with us.
He's no longer with us. Somebody that's portly like that would be good.
If Bud Adams was still around, he'd be 102.
What about the guy from Friday Night Lights, the guy on the TV show, the guy, the car salesman, the guy that was behind the scenes? Was it Jerry? What's his name? That would be a good – but that guy's living off that dime off Friday Night Lights. God, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That'd be a good Bud Adams.
Joey Sly plays the man who forgot to kick.
Joey Sly is played by Schwarzenegger.
Hey, there you go. 615-737-1025. Allison Janney is Miss Amy.
Great one. Great one, yes.
Brandon Gleason could play Bud Adams. I don't know who that is.
Me neither.
I'll have to look that up.
Dustin Hoffman as Bud Adams?
Well,
no. It's got to be portly, like Chase said.
It's got to be something. Brandon Gleason does look like Bud Adams. That's an interesting one. You know, Chris Farley is Bud. You make Chris Farley look older as Bud Adams would have been hilarious.
Yes, but I like the one who called in earlier about Brian Dennehy and
yeah.
Now this guy, it's gonna. I got
Danny DeVito is Bud Adams. Thank you, Ricky.
That's a really good one too. I got to find this guy for Friday Night Lights now. Somebody will let me know who it is.
All right, we'll get back to this in a little bit. But keep this coming. Who would play who? In a Titans movie, it's gone from the Titans now to the entire history. We'll discuss that later in the show. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.